So our scripture lesson is from the Gospel of Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 9 through 14. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. The Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I don't know if you've noticed these new flowers that are sprouting up in people's yards. The political signs, have you seen these? It is midterm elections, and early voting is open. You can go vote now in Scotland County. And I encourage you to go vote. And I think it's interesting about the signs because this is the way we sort of define our tribe and the other tribe. You know, we see who's got what else. I mean, there's one I look at that if I see the signs in that yard, I know that's who I'm not going to vote for. And I'm sure they may do that with us. But it is a way of us kind of differentiating ourselves, and if it gets a little bit toxic, it becomes a way of us feeling superior. Like, thank God I'm not like these people. Whichever side you're on, you know. And y'all know, I've preached on this before about the purple church. I think we ought to have Republicans and Democrats in the same congregation, being friends in Christ, because Christ is more important than all that stuff. But there is that sense of there but for the grace of God go I. We just, you know, here's to us and those like us, darn few left, that kind of thing. And we try, once we've done that, we make ourselves feel better by sort of like looking down on the other people when we say, thank God I'm not like them, or there but for the grace of God go I. And this leads us right into this passage today of the Pharisee and the tax collector, because we love our tribe, and not the other tribe. And we make that division. And part of the reason we love it makes us feel better to say that they're not as good. And so starting with verse 9, this is key because it's really easy to slip over this. It says, Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves. That's really key to understanding this. They told this parable to people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. And that is the context of Jesus telling this story. I almost think this happened. It's such a realistic story that it happened. But Jesus is telling a story to make a point, because there are people who are listening to Jesus that he knows trust in themselves for their righteousness. And so you can't blame them, because all those centuries of Judaism said that if you are to be righteous, you obey the law. That the more righteousness you have, it is because you are obeying the law. Now, you know, there was the Ten Commandments, and one of the best ways to think of the Ten Commandments is to think of it as gratitude to God, not as making you righteous or unrighteous, but it's like God saying, and I know this is a very pedestrian analogy. It's like the owner's manual to a lawnmower, okay? And the owner's manual says, thank you for buying this lawnmower. It will give you long life and service. Here are the things you need to do. You need to change the air filter every once in a while. You need to put oil in it. Here are things you shouldn't do. You should not turn it on and get the blade going and run over a hose or run over a rock. And if you don't do these things, and you do these things, this you'll have a long, good life with this lawnmower. And that's kind of what God was doing as this gift of the Ten Commandments. If you want to have a long, prosperous life, you know, don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery. These are things that would make you, will crash your life down. And so it became a way of us being in gratitude for God to say, God, I love you and I will follow you because I love you, not to become righteous. But in all those years of Phariseeism and Judaism, it had become, here is how you are righteous. And the thing is, according to that definition, the Pharisee was right. He was. He fasted twice a week. He gave a tenth of his income. But be nice to have some Pharisees in our church. A tenth. And so he's actually correct that he is righteous according to the law. And then he also is kind of knows how he is the unrighteous. He says not like this tax collector. Okay, so he's doing the there but the grace of God go I thing with the tax collector. Now, the tax collector knew he was not righteous. Now, there's a couple of things. It intrigues me like crazy because this is sort of late in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus has all his disciples. You remember who one of his disciples was? Disciple Matthew, who was a tax collector. And so he's listening to Jesus do this parable about the bad tax collector. And what they did was Romans had occupied that country. And the Jews who became tax collectors, because they spoke the language, they worked for the Roman government. So they were traitors in a way, because this oppressive government, they had gotten in with the Roman government. And the way they did it, the Romans said, okay, you got to get this much money, and then whatever you get on that, that's for you. And so they were hated because they had the power of the Roman government, and they could enrich themselves because of this. And they were... You know, I don't think we even did that when we occupied Iraq. I don't think we actually made Iraqis, you know, pay tax to the United States. But that's what they did. And so they were hated by the Jews. And this tax collector knew he was not righteous. He knew that he didn't fast twice a week. He didn't give a tenth of his income as a tithe. And so there was no debate here. He was true. Now, and so it seems like a very simple parable, you know? Don't be like the tax collector. Don't be like the Pharisee who looks down on the tax collector. You know, I mean, just boom, okay, let's go home. That's it. But that's the trick on this thing. It's tricky. And I want to show you how tricky it is, because what happens is when you read it in a straightforward way, don't be self-righteous like the Pharisee, but instead be humble like the tax collector. We might as well end up praying, God, we thank you that we are not like other people, hypocrites, overly pious, self-righteous, or even like that Pharisee. We come to church each week. We listen attentively to the sermon or fake it. We have made our stewardship pledge, and we have learned that we should always be humble. You see how tricky that is? That as soon as you get the point of this parable, we become the problem again. Because we're still saying this is what we do. We're not like that pious, self-righteous Pharisee. We're putting him down and we're feeling good about us. And that is the problem with this. One makes a claim for righteousness based on his own accomplishments. And this is the contrast. And while the other relies entirely on the Lord's benevolence. So one, the Pharisee is relying on his accomplishments. And remember, it says those who trusted in themselves for righteousness. And the tax collector throws himself on the mercy of God. And Jesus says there was one who went home justified. And that was the tax collector. Because he's not trying to justify his own self by his own actions or the things he's done. So it's not about what we do. Our righteousness is not about what we do or what we don't do. It's about God, and it's about God's mercy to all people. That's it. It's not about us. Our following the law and being obedient, all that is gratitude to God for God's great gifts. It is not about us checking off boxes of righteousness and feeling better about something than somebody else. It's about God and God's mercy. It's not about our tribe. So the church doesn't need to be excluding people because of their tribe, because of their history. God's love, God's mercy includes all of us, includes everyone. So we invite everyone in. We invite people that have different politics than ours. You know, if that house with all the signs, if they weren't going to church, I should invite them to my church. They do go to church. We invite everyone. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, sexual, queer, we invite them. We invite the formerly incarcerated, what is called returning citizens, we invite them into our church. All races, all colors, all income levels, all political persuasions, people who we know have made mistakes. We can no longer say that the church is only for our tribe. Here's to us and those like us, darn few left. It's not just for people like us, middle class, conservative or liberal, married, untattooed, unpierced, heterosexual. The ones who go home justified understand that they are justified by God and God alone. It's so hard to see this. It's so hard because we're so conditioned the other way. You're only justified by who God is, not by who you are, and by what God and Jesus Christ has done, not because of what we have done. In verse 14, Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. It's not by our works. It's not by our righteousness. You know, this is before Apostle, it almost sounds like the Apostle Paul, because he says, none are righteous, none, not even one. And that's what Jesus is saying here. And he is the first one to say it to these Jewish people who all knew that it's all about righteous works. And Jesus is saying to those who trust in themselves that they're righteous, no, it's all about God. It's all about God's mercy. It's not by our righteousness, it's by God's grace and God's mercy. And a church is a collection of those folk who are justified by God and God alone. And Norrin, you must have been just reading my mind, because I'm going to close with this Rachel Held Evans quote. It just keeps popping up. Mine's a little longer than yours, but it's the same one we did a few weeks ago. But I love it. This is from her book, and I love, if you get this book, if you want a new book, it's called Searching for Sunday. Searching for Sunday. And she says, there are always folks who fancy themselves bouncers to the heavenly banquet, charged with keeping the wrong people away from the table and out of church, committed to purifying the church of every errant fault, difference of opinion, or variation in practice. These self-appointed gatekeepers tie up heavy loads of legalistic rules and place them on weary people's shoulders. They slam the door of the kingdom in people's faces and tell them to come back when they are sober, back on their feet, politically correct, reformed, doubtless, submissive, or straight. But the gospel doesn't need a coalition devoted to keeping the wrong people out. It needs a family of sinners saved by grace, committed to tearing down the walls, throwing open the doors, and shouting, "Welcome. There's bread and wine. Come eat with us and talk." This isn't a kingdom for the worthy. It's a kingdom for the hungry. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, it's so tricky. It's so tricky. We get caught in it all the time of trying to justify ourselves. And we try to do it by looking at other people and other tribes and saying we're better than they are. And Lord, help us to look to you. Help us to look to you and your mercy as all the righteousness that we have possible for us. That it's you, not us, it's you. Help us to be open. Help us to open our doors. Help us to be inclusive of folks that we have not felt comfortable with before. It makes us uncomfortable sometimes. But change that in us. Warm our hearts. Let us see your image in every single person that we encounter. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.